Hey, hey, hey. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Angela Lang, and I am joined today with guest co-host Dan Schaefer, and we have some great guests. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Angela? Thanks so much for having me co-host here with you. We're in Racine. We're having a good time.
It's
We're on the Maggie
great.
Dawn Show.
It's going to be great. Shout out to Maggie for letting us fill in. And at the top of the hour, Lord knows I cannot be on radio without our good friend, Matt Rothschild. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing fine, Angela. Thanks for having me on. It's great to see you and Dan and to hear your beautiful voices.
Of course. We have a lot to talk about from the last few days, but also a couple of us wrote some pieces, which we will get into later in the show. Myself and State Representative Darren Madison wrote a piece that dropped yesterday talking about what we wanted to see in the next WISDEMS chair. And then,
and you can find that at the recombobulation area.
At the recombobulation area, of course. And then Dan also wrote a piece. Give folks a taste of what it's about.
Yeah, I wrote a piece that I've been working on for a little while now, and it is one that I feel pretty passionate about, and I think it is a conversation that we need to be having here in the state of Wisconsin, those of us left of center who might align with Democrats, whatever it might be. But I wrote a piece about why I think Tony Evers should not seek a third term as governor of the state of Wisconsin. So the piece is up, published today. It's called Pass the Torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as governor. Wisconsin's governor needs to do what so many other Democrats have failed to do and step aside when the time is right. And right now, I think the time is right. So we will have a few opportunities to get into it there. You know, if you have thoughts out there in the civic media listening audience, we are taking your calls.
Yes.
We're taking your perspectives. We want to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
I think this is a conversation we need to be having. We, like with Biden in 2023, we probably should have been having a more substantive conversation about what was going on at that time as well. So we want to be having this conversation here with you on the Civic Media Network. Work as well.
Awesome. Definitely looking forward to that. So I would say, Matt, let's just jump straight in it. As we continue to watch the breaking news of the actions and protests in LA and how they continue to escalate as a response to the ICE raids, you're one of the first people I immediately thought of, given all of our conversations every other time we've been on the radio. Wanted to get your observations of what we are seeing now in this current moment, and if there's anything that scares you about what we're seeing.
Oh, there's a lot that scares me. We are further down the hill to authoritarianism than we were the last time we spoke. That's the theme of our conversations. Where is our democracy right now, and how far are we slipping? And we slipped a lot this week. I mean, just to level set, as Maggie would put it, I want to review Trump's memo that allowed the National Guard to go over the heads of the governor and the mayor in California to Los Angeles because he said, I'm quoting now from it, units of the National Guard will temporarily protect ICE and other United States government personnel who are performing federal functions, including the enforcement of federal law, and protect federal property at locations where protests against these functions are occurring or are likely to occur. That's about as broad as you can get. That's not limited to Los Angeles. It's not limited in time. So he's going to be able to send out the National Guard, according to his own discretion, anytime he wants, and claiming that authority, which is in the courts right now. But he also said at the end of that order that the Secretary of Defense may employ any other members of the regular armed forces as necessary to augment and support the role, support the protection of federal functions and property in any number determined appropriate in his discretion. So that gives Secretary of Defense Hegseth enormous authority. So that's how this got set up. I mean, we're not supposed to have the military in our streets. We are having the military in our streets in Los Angeles. This is a huge violation of tradition and a huge violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. And we're one step closer to martial law right now. And that's what's so scary to me. And then today, I mean, breaking news, Hegseth himself said that the Marines may accompany ICE on their raid. So we're going to have the Marines going along with ICE, you know, to Home Depots, to restaurants, to factories. And this is going to be extraordinarily provocative in Los Angeles and other places if they do this in other places. So it is really kind of the disaster that I was most worried about, which is Trump doing a kind of martial law thing with bringing the military into the streets of our country. And so that's where we are today. It's a very scary moment. Our democracy is hanging by a thread right now. And that's why it's so important to have nonviolent protests all across the country, which we're going to be seeing this weekend.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's, if you zoom out and take a look at what's happening in Los Angeles, I think there's going to be a lot of communities around the country that are going to be having protests in response to what's been happening with ICE as well. You know, and we also have this weekend, there are those No Kings protests mm-hmm. that are happening. But I think this is, you know, I do get the sense that this is kind of what the Trump-Vance regime wants. I think they want this public showcase because, you know, one of the things I always come back to from the campaign last year when Donald Trump and J.D. Vance were talking about the city in Ohio that mm-hmm. had, you know, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, the line that he said in the debate, yeah. right? And I think there was a story after the fact that J.D. Vance acknowledged that a lot of what they were talking about was not true.
Yeah, yeah.
He acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that we want to be talking about this issue. So they used the pretense of this conspiracy theory going on in Ohio to advance the issue that that they wanted to get in on the forefront and mm-hmm. the issue that they thought they were winning on, which is immigration. Yep. Donald Trump later in the campaign or after the election said, my number one issue is immigration. So think back to what we were talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the massive unpopularity of the quote unquote big beautiful bill
mm-hmm.
and how many people it would be taking health care away from. Yep. We saw the blow up between Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Yep.
Now all of those things are off the headlines
yep.
because Stephen Miller gave this directive to say, go to Home Depot, go to restaurants, go to wherever
yep.
and start deporting people from their workplaces. And so they have successfully, I think, changed the conversation from what we were talking about last week with this disastrous bill, with the fallout from Elon Musk, the failure of Doge, the chaos of the administration. And now we are back to talking about the issue that Trump and Vance and Stephen Miller want to be talking about, which is immigration.
Certainly it was to change the subject, Dan. I agree
yeah.
with that. But I think it's more than that, too.
Yeah.
It's the fulfillment of a fantasy that Donald Trump has had for years.
Oh, for sure.
That he can, you know, just bring the military out whenever he wants against people who are protesting against his policies. He dreamt about it and tried to implement it his first time around and asked the Pentagon, why can't we just shoot those Black Lives Matter protesters, shoot mm-hmm. them in the knees, and the military wouldn't say yes. Well, now he's got Hegseth over there, and they've cleaned house in the military, so they got a bunch of yes men. I mean, this is the thing. Trump is surrounded by fascists. Trump is himself a fascist. He's surrounded
yes.
by fascists and sycophants, or people who are both sycophascists, if you will. And so, you know, there's no one to stop him. His worst impulses are being echoed by people like Stephen Miller. You mentioned him, Dan. Here's what he had to say today. The threat being made here by Mayor Bass is explicit. The mayor of L.A. is effectively saying the mob violence is caused by the mere presence of ICE in the city, and the violence against ICE will not stop unless federal law enforcement is withdrawn. This is the definition of insurrection, says Stephen Miller. You know, we didn't use insurrection about January 6th, which was a real insurrection.
Okay.
So, you know, they're seizing on these protests that were violent in a little bit apart, but most of the protests were peaceful. We need to remind people of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seizing on that to try to aggrandize power in the hands of the president and shred more of our democracy as he's been going after one aspect of civil society after another. And this is a culmination of that effort.
And I think what's important, too, is that language matters in this moment, right? Building on what you're saying, Dan, about how they're trying to instill a particular narrative, you know, people are like, the unrest or the riots. And I'm like, these are peaceful protests. You know, and I've seen some commentary on social media, even from like more moderate Dems that are like, oh, I don't agree with this because this is just only playing into Trump's hand. And it does, to a lot of extent, feel like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, because if you don't resist, he's like, no one's resisting. I guess I should keep going. But if you do resist, what is that balance before it turns into his justification for things like martial law? And we have to also understand that our language plays a role in reinforcing his agenda by even calling it a riot when we've seen it was largely peaceful. And if things did get a little tense, it was only after the military had arrived.
Right. Right. I think that's such an important point. Like, if that's when things really got ratcheted up. That's when things got to, you know, it started to seem more dangerous. And people so often, when these protests happen, they just want to talk about the optics of things.
Yeah. Yep.
People don't want to talk about what the genesis of why people were protesting is. And, you know, the LA Times has done some really good reporting on this that I've read. Some of the other local reports, I always try to go to a local source whenever we're, you know, something big like this is happening, instead of just having the national media parachute into that. I think we've experienced that from time to time here in Wisconsin.
You know.
But I think, you know, you go to some of these local sources, and they're talking about showing up at Home Depots, showing up at various places in working class neighborhoods, rounding people up and trying to arrest them. And we know that the Trump administration has been trampling due process. We know that the Trump administration and ICE has been taking a number of tactics that maybe are a little bit out of bounds, to put it mildly, perhaps. And so I think it is important to get to what started this. And, you know, I think a lot of Americans would support an initiative to, yes, we're going to deal with the violent offenders. We're going to deal with actual criminals.
But that's
we're
not
going to deport those people. And we're going to, you know, and the other line that they always go to, oh, well, they're, you know, mooching off the country and trying to get benefits. These are people trying to get a job at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Right. These are families. These are working class families.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a number of other stories about like this impacting children, all of those other things.
Mm-hmm.
I think you go back to the genesis of that. How can you not disagree with, you know, people being, you know, just shown up at their workplace? This is not going after violent criminals.
Yep.
This is not going after people who are taking advantage of the system. This is going after working class people.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part, I think, of all of this. And I think that's part of the cruelty in it all.
Yeah.
And cruelty and sadism is part of their playbook. This
yes.
is what authoritarians do. They flaunt their sadism. They're breaking up families right before our very eyes. And it's grotesque, and that's why there's so many protests out there. And the vast majority of the protests are nonviolent. Yeah, a couple cars were set on fire, and some hooligans were throwing rocks at police cars from a bridge. I get that. But almost all the protesters, other than those, were nonviolent. So let's focus on that.
More on this coming up after the break here on the Maggie Dawn Show. And we'll have guests to talk to. We will talk about my column. We will talk about Angela's column. If you have any other thoughts on what's happening in Los Angeles, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we will be right back. Stick with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show.